So as we begin this process, there's two questions that I want to kind of guide this series and direct it for us. The first one is for you. How is God forming me? How is God forming you as a follower of Jesus? And the second question is, who has God been preparing to shepherd his people? And so over the next several weeks, we're going to jump into this series with those two questions kind of at the front and center of what we are doing. And we're going to through the eyes and lens of Moses and looking at how God formed Moses. Moses, who is called to go and stand before the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh, and say, "Let my people go." Who leads the people during the night out of Egypt to the edge of the Red Sea, who raises his hands, who parts the waters, who leads the people through into the wilderness, who wanders the wilderness for 40 years, leading the people who complain and are angry at him, and he intercedes to God on their behalf. And he loves them well, and he serves them, and he calls them back to be the people that God has called them to be. And he dies on the side of a mountain overlooking the promised land, never actually getting to enter the place that God called him to lead his people to. But most of what we have in Scripture is not the beginning of Moses' life. In fact, we only have one chapter in the entire Bible that really talks about the first 80 years of Moses' life. The rest, from Exodus chapter 3 all the way through Deuteronomy 34, covers the last 40 years. And that is basically what we have of it. Today, I want to focus on that first 80 years because I think the first 80 years form him for leading the people through the wilderness. And yet, as we focus on that, we don't have a lot of text about that time. Moses, who grew up in Pharaoh's household, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out where his own people were, and he watched them in their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. The next day he went out, and he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing us or killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." And when Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. And I love that question that they ask, that he asked Moses, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Which one day he will become. He will become the ruler. He will become the judge. He will watch over and shepherd the people. But it's not today. But what's so striking about the situation is Moses sees injustice, which I think is a great trait of a shepherd. Sees injustice, sees what's wrong and wants to deal with it. The problem is, at this point, he had only been formed in the ways of Egypt. And in Egypt, there's a very specific way that you handle your problems. In Egypt, you use force. In Egypt, you use power. In Egypt, you take the sword into your hand and do what you must. So Moses deals with the problem the only way that he knows how. He takes up the sword and he kills the Egyptian. This is the way he had been formed. This is what he knew. And I think it's what happens when calling comes before character. Because Moses sees the injustice, he sees what's wrong, but his character hadn't been developed yet. He hadn't been formed. And he deals with it the only way he has seen up until this point. This is the way of Egypt. The character is so incredibly important. When Paul talks about a shepherd or an overseer, he begins with character. I want you to listen to what he says. Now, an overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. And I'm thankful at times for the headings, the subheadings in our New Testaments. But at the same time, a lot of times I'm not. And this is one of those where I'm not. Because what the subheading says is qualifications for an elder. And I don't think that's a good choice of words. These are not qualifications, these are qualities. Because this is not something you have all the time. You can look at me and say, well, Gary's gentle. I promise you, not all the time. You can look at me and say, well, Gary's self-controlled. I promise you, not all the time. Or that he's not easily angered. I promise you, there are times when I am. And each of these men that we've called to shepherd our flock here at Shiloh, to shepherd his body, are not always this way. But these are qualities. These are character traits. These are things that we grow in. Right? This is not something God just said, well, this person has all of these traits. No, this is something they've grown in. Because the problem is, calling without character eventually collapses. Right? We eventually hit this dead end where responsibility outruns maturity. Where you've been given more to carry than you've actually been formed to handle. And power and position magnifies what's already inside. Because insecurity becomes control. And pride becomes arrogance, and anger becomes intimidation. And people start to make private compromises, but they always come with public consequences. Eventually, it's seen. And results become more important than faithfulness. Character that comes before calling is often going to collapse. Because character, I think, is revealed on the mountaintop, but it's formed in the valleys. It's formed in the dark places. And skill cannot replace character. Skill cannot replace character. Character is something that is grown, it is formed, and these qualities are so important. And the thing is, this is not an end-all, be-all list. that there are things that aren't mentioned in Timothy or Titus that are probably pretty important for shepherds. Things like compassion and wisdom and discernment and prayerfulness and steadiness and burden bearing. Those make up a shepherd. Someone we look at and say, we want you to help guide us as a church. So Moses, raised in Pharaoh's palace, is forced to lay down the sword and run. To run into obscurity. To run to where no one is watching. Acts tells us he's 40 years old when he kills the Egyptian. He's going to spend the next 40 years of his life with no one watching. With no one to see what is happening. And it's almost as if God uses this moment to take the sword out of his hand and to give him a staff. And say, this now is your weapon. This is what you will use from this day forward. And he finds himself in Midian. For 40 years, walking in the backside of the desert where no one sees. Now, he flees to Midian, where he's sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs with water for their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. Again, he sees the injustice. He sees what's wrong, and he deals with it again, but this time in a different way. He doesn't use his strength to kill. He uses his strength to serve, to protect the daughters, to drive the men away, and to water their flock. He uses his strength to serve. It's almost as if God is making this transition. And there was this eye-opening moment where Moses was forced to choose. Is it the way of Egypt? Or is it the way of a shepherd? What will be in my hand as I lead the people of God? Because God often forms us in the places that we are most reluctant to go. At age 30, 40, ask Moses, where do you see yourself one day? I would imagine it's in Egypt. But now he has to run to the backside of the desert. And that is the exact place that God finds him and begins to form him and to begin changing him. 40 years with someone else's flock. 40 years with no title or platform or credit. And God forms him there. But as Moses is in the desert, God still has not lost sight of his people. It says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. He heard, he remembered, he saw, he knew. God was there with his people. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when Moses saw, or when the Lord saw that he had gone over, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He comes to this place, and God says, you are now standing on holy ground. But understand, this is not a specific place that he had come to that is set apart as holy. Just simply because, oh, well, this ground is sacred right here, Moses. This dirt is holy. It's holy ground because the presence of God is there. And it says Moses turned aside to go over and see. There's a lot of rabbinic commentary. We've talked about this before. And one of my favorite things that the rabbis say is the miracle was not that the bush was on fire and did not burn up. The miracle was that Moses actually noticed it. That he actually turned aside and stepped away to go over and see it. Because I don't know in Egypt if he would have been able to see. But 40 years wandering in the desert, and he notices now this bush, and maybe it had been on fire the whole time. But it took Moses 40 years to be able to realize it, to recognize it, to see it. I think one of the most important things we are calling men as shepherds to do is to be able to turn aside and see. To be able to walk slow enough that they see and notice the presence of God all around us and can call us to see it as well. Who understand what holy ground really looks like. Not because this place is holy, but because God's presence dwells here. And God's presence dwells in you as well. Have you ever thought about the fact that every single person in here is a burning bush? Every single person you encounter outside these walls is a burning bush in which we see the image of God. But the question is, are you able to turn aside and see it? Are you able to notice God's presence and glory wherever we are? We need leaders who can slow down, turn aside, and help us to see God's presence. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. And I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. To bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land. A land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 10. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. In Egypt, Moses saw the suffering and he dealt with it the Egyptian way. But over the next 40 years, God is going to form him. And he's going to send him to Pharaoh to stand before the most powerful man in the world and say, let my people go. Moses' response is,
Wait, who am I? Who am I? You want me to go back to Egypt? And it's almost like, God, we tried that once. I tried to free your people. I tried to deal with the injustice that I saw, and it didn't work. And I think this is the moment where God simply says to Moses, yes, Moses, you did try to deal with the injustice, but you did it Egypt's way. And now I'm inviting you to do it mine. And so before Moses could lead Israel through the wilderness, God had to lead Moses through the wilderness. And the wilderness is that place that you don't want to go, where you don't want to be. But those are the places where God forms his people. The place that you have been afraid of, the place that hurts you, the place you don't want to return to, those are often the places that shape us as followers of Jesus more than any other place we go. And he stands now before Pharaoh with a staff and not a sword. But his response to God is simply, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God's answer is so plain and simple. He says, Moses, I will be with you. It's not Moses, you're so incredibly bright, you're going to know exactly what to say, your words are going to be so convincing. Moses, you've gotten so strong in the wilderness and so resilient, now I have prepared you. It's Moses. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who I am. And I will go with you. Understand, as we call men to shepherd, we are not looking for people that we think one day will become good shepherds and giving them a title and hope they one day become that. We are calling men who are already shepherding people, who are already caring for people, who are already doing the work of a shepherd. It's not, here is a title and a position, one day you will become that. It is, we see this in you. And those characteristics that God is forming in each of us is so incredibly important. Because I think so many churches get this wrong. I think there are so many churches who the MO is basically, let's look for the big-time successful people, the businessmen, the people who know how to get things done. And obviously, if they can run a business or they can run a school district, then they should be an elder. But that's not who God chooses. And it's not their profession disqualifies them. But it's the way they go about their business that matters. Because how they function here in the church matters to us. There's a lot of people that come to Shiloh, and I hear stories all the time where they've been hurt by churches. And they have horror stories about the way that they were treated. And almost every one of those stories has something in common that I hear. Is there are leaders in that church who do not lead as shepherds. I think one of the things that makes Shiloh so different, and one of the things that many of you, I think, find when you do come here, is that we do our very best. And listen, these men are not perfect. Ask me, I'll tell you every one of their flaws. No. They are not perfect. We are not claiming they're perfect. We're not claiming our ministry staff, our deacons, any of us are perfect. But I think what we try to get right here is that we try to put the title on the people who are holding the staffs in their hand and not the sword. And my hope is, if you are new to following Jesus, that what you will find here is something different. If you're coming from a church where you've been hurt, that you'll find something different. That you'll find some men, and their wives as well. I promise you, they spend as much time praying for you as their husbands do. But who know how to love people well. And I think that's one of the things that we try to get right and we focus on so much. Next week, we're going to begin a period of prayer and fasting for this process because it is so important in the life of our church. And so as we begin looking and calling men, we're not looking for the outspoken, charismatic, confident, successful. We're looking at those who are carrying a staff, who know how to turn aside, to listen and trust in the presence of God. But again, this is not just simply about the names that we will submit. This is also about who you and I are becoming. Who or how is God forming me and preparing me to be a shepherd? Father, we thank you for this time. God, we're grateful for the ways that you form your people. And Father, I pray as we begin this process that you will help us to begin to look and see the qualities of those that you call shepherds. That you will help us to see your ways and not the ways of Egypt. And Father, that we would see and recognize the men that you are preparing, that you are forming to shepherd your people. Father, we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.